Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hello, Mark.
Interesting and helpful discussion this week.
Oh, that's always good, isn't it?
It is good. Sometimes this can get complicated, but I think people get the gist of what you're trying to get at with last week's show and today's as well, and that's having the right health care documents in place. It's an important part of estate planning. We've talked about how a lot of people, just 50%, have a will or trust, but up to 70% of people have no health care documentation. They don't know what to do if they have a health care emergency or crisis in this life.
Yep.
And that they need someone to answer questions and make decisions, and a lot of people have nobody in line for that.
Yeah, it's an interesting gap, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand that a lot of people haven't done estate planning in general, but that means some people have done some wills and other things, but then they didn't get the healthcare documents, which I don't understand in some ways. But that's okay. The big deal is every individual needs these. I never know if I'm going to have a health incident. I'm pretty healthy. I'm actually very healthy. So I'm very blessed with that. If someone who is not healthy continuously, they may have a higher understanding that a healthcare document is necessary. But those who are healthy, we tend to push off these things. I'm not going to die tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to have a health incident tomorrow. Everything is going okay. And really, I just don't understand how we can guarantee that. And if we have these emergency situations intervene in our life, then we're putting those who need our attention in a really bad predicament. Number one, there's already high emotion, high chaos, and now they don't have the documents. And now we don't know who to listen to and who has the legal authority to make the decisions. Boy, that's just a bad scenario all around. And not only that, also we talked about last week, and you can head over to legacyandfaith.com and find all of our previous podcasts. We talked about that each individual, you're created in the image of God. You are worth having an estate plan because we need these documents alone set around you to care for you and make sure that you are going to be cared for in a way that you envision and see fit. And lastly, a really important thing I mentioned, which I want to bring back to the table again, which is our society, specifically our younger people, 30s and below, seem to be in a mental health crisis. There's not enough counselors there, social media and all these other things. And so healthcare documents are not just for the old and aging. It may be as critical and as important to have healthcare documents around every single individual.
That's an amazing statistic.
So that's where we're at to get this.
To review then from last week, what are those main documents everyone needs?
Great. Which is, number one, a healthcare power of attorney. That is a standard healthcare, takes care of your body, medications, surgeries. So your physical one is wrapped up in the healthcare power of attorney. Washington State has a mental health statute. So therefore, I create a mental health power of attorney, which is separated from the health care. In addition, that statute actually requests that specific questions are asked, and I don't see any documents that roll across my desk from outside sources that have those questions. So that is an important document. HIPAA compliance. So if we need access to medical records, we have to have a HIPAA compliant authority that says, yes, these people can have access to my medical records. And then the fourth one in dealing with health issues is the end of life document, or also known as a living will. So that is the pull the plug or the dying process elections. So those are the four major documents that every person needs.
Okay, then that sets up who are the right people to put on these documents. Who are the we call them with the will and the trust? It's the executor, but
right.
This is what it, what are they called in?
This
healthcare?
Is called a healthcare representative.
Okay.
So a representative.
Okay. Who do we choose for these things?
Yeah, that's an important question. And a lot of times, what I see clients move towards is there someone in the family that has medical experience? Mm. Do we have a doctor? Do we have a nurse? Do we have somebody that has any type of specific training in the medical community, because they could be a very strong decision in making that first. Of course, we tend to always put in spouses as the first option, and that's because spouses know each other and they care for each other, and that's kind of the natural instinct. But then who falls after that? Or if you're single, who is the primary individual? So who is it that has any type of medical background? Now, sometimes they don't have the bedside manners. They may have the knowledge, but they really don't have the compassion and care. Mm. And so, so really, one of the first things that I talk to clients about is, well, who is it that is going to be patient enough to help you make appointments, drive you to places, be with you in doctor meetings? And nowadays, it doesn't have to be the person next to you. So yes, we tend to think of, well, who's close to me? And that's really setting up who can drive me to the doctor, who can help me that's right physically next to me.
If you're not married,
but
if you're not married, this would be hard to find.
It can be. Yeah. And then even add in the layer of I have multiple clients that have no spouse and no children. Mm. Or if you're married but no children, then who are your backups? And so that's where you start looking at siblings or nieces and nephews that you entrust to. Then if we really don't have family around you, then who are the people in community? And last but least, there are services that you can hire. And so there's certainly a pecking order of comfort of who would be able to stand next to me and really assist me. And nowadays, it doesn't have to be the person who's next door or the person who's right next to you, because we can do Zoom meetings, phone calls. And so there was a time when my wife was going to school, but her mom was having some health emergencies. And we were able to just to put my wife on speakerphone and have those meetings with my mother-in-law. And so distance is not the end all be all nowadays.
Right.
We have a lot of technological options to get people together in that same room to make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So the question that I would really want people to pull apart is, who's the best individual? Who do you entrust? And a lot of individuals also have a who thinks like I do in medical care. Some people lean heavily upon doctors. Others do not. Others want naturopathic remedies first. They want other alternative options to be implemented or looked at before they go to traditional medications or pharmaceuticals. So also, who thinks like I think and would honor how I want to be cared for, that could also be a really big determining factor on who you ultimately name in that spot.
But there are services you can hire. Is this something, for instance, that your firm does? Are you someone who's hired to do these kinds of decisions?
So we will help with financial stability, but I actually don't make medical decisions. Mm. We're just not set up to send somebody. We don't have a social worker on staff or someone else who would do wellness checks and build a more medical lifeline between the client and the office. So
there are services that specialize just in this.
Yeah, absolutely. There are a few law firms that I know of that have that type of a service available, and that's really what they do. They bring in either a social worker, they even hire nurses, and they're really set up for elder care and aging in place and having that connection to make those healthcare decisions. So that's not my firm.
Okay.
But I highly respect the ones, because it's a big task to have that apart.
Well, and then how is this paid for if this person only has power over healthcare decisions.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And so we have to have a good financial power of attorney. And then so specifically, if you ever needed institutional assistance, then the question is, well, who is making that healthcare decision versus who is making the financial decision? Sometimes they are the same individual, but oftentimes they are not, because managing money is a different skill set than the care and compassion and need of being over your healthcare decisions or having the same healthcare philosophy that you do. So they may be very different individuals. A good attorney will make sure that those documents are lining up so that the financial power of attorney is not making independent decisions for and refusing to pay medical costs versus the healthcare person making elaborate out of alignment healthcare decisions that cost the estate much more. So there has to be the ability in the documents for these individuals to work together and hone in each other. So if I wanted to be cared for in a certain manner, but my finances don't allow that, so the healthcare provider may go, no, I want the best. They got to be in the penthouse looking over the water and having private care. Well, but does my estate allow for that?
Right.
So can my finances support that decision? So there has to be a communication, and the documents themselves have to be set up properly for that communication.
And particularly the end-of-life document we were talking off-air, but this is becoming more and more of a big deal, not so much in America, but other countries who have socialized medicine.
Oh, yes.
They want you to euthanize. I mean, this whole thing of euthanizing people – even against their will sometimes, just because it'll save everybody the money and save our healthcare system the money.
Yeah, because they've got so many other people to care for.
That is such a pressure.
And limited budgets.
It's a real predicament.
Yeah. So I have seen, unfortunately, that trend in other countries. And if it starts in other countries, then somehow it sneaks in to our shores.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not so sure that that is a very biblical view at all, that we're just supposed to let people ride out to pasture instead of care for them and work tirelessly to ensure their health and their comfort in as people age. So yeah, that end of life document, it's called a living will.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really important document as well, because it will lay out different decisions that someone wants to make for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this ideology of letting someone else make that decision for you, and there's a part of it that is offensive internally in me because of my biblical foundation. And obviously, you setting up the question
kind of a big issue.
We should
talk about this some more after the break. So,
yeah.
People need help with their health care documents or other estate planning issues. How do they get in touch with you, Paul?
Well, head over to legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, and it's all found at legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's Legacy and Faith.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. And continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, looking at the importance of health care documents for your estate plan. It is separate from a will or trust, and so many people have no plan in this area. So Paul is bringing us through some of the things we need to have as far as our documentation. And before the break, we are getting into the subject of the whole end-of-life healthcare documents. And that can be real tricky, particularly in a lot of the pressures we have with today's medical system, healthcare system.
Yeah, it's a really important conversation. I'm glad you kind of stopped us and so that we can talk a little bit more about it. And even from the legal side, I see a lot of people struggling with this specifically. So documents that I review from the general public are very, very broad. So I don't like that to begin with. Most standard templated documents are very difficult to work with. And so I really encourage that if you have not done any of this type of planning, number one, it's critical. It's very important that you get this stuff done. So please, whether it's me or whether it's some other attorney, please get to somebody who can assist you well. And so the end-of-life documents, the general definition is have two doctors determined that there is no medical assistance that will help you get healthy. So in other words, you have an incurable injury, disease, or illness. And the general public documents say, or you are permanently unconscious, or death is imminent. Now, I don't like that or. I think that's too broad because so if I have a terminal illness, but I'm not unconscious, I'm not about ready to die, then my end-of-life document is already kicked in. Mm. That seems to be too broad in what I have thought through. So my documents are far more limited, and I use an and statement instead of an or. So two doctors have written in your permanent medical records that you have an incurable injury, disease, or illness, and has rendered you unconscious, and death is imminent. Now, that is a much more narrow funnel of decision-making for my clients than the or statement. So, again, the general document that I have seen from the public and from what specifically templated documents, I don't like at all. Mm. So I think it's way too broad. Now, there's a couple decisions that need to be made within that document, such as, do you want hydration during the dying process? So think through now, someone is in the dying process. Do you want hydration during that time period? Do you want a feeding tube? What about medications? Do you want drugs to make sure that that you are your body is at rest
morphine
and not
or whatever? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's this the drug of choice. Mm-hmm. So I figure if I'm a drug addict for the last couple of days of my life, the Lord will forgive me. It's okay. But some people have very strong feelings about medications and drugs, and I totally get it. So. And then I use a very interesting conversation because of just who I am, which is I ask clients that so that this is additional. This is not found in any other document because, well, it's my documents that I add this next layer of questions. And it really hits to the heart mark of what you have raised, which is, but other countries appear to be taking greater and greater liberties to pull people off of longevity and medications to keep them living versus almost wanting them to go down the aisle of death.
Yeah, well, we mentioned the mental health aspect of it. People are been depressed for 2 weeks and they say, I just want to check out. And
that's a whole different creature.
And that's happening in other countries.
Yeah, so because I have seen this in other countries and the mentality shift, I started asking a question probably about 10 years ago that asks, would you like an additional statement? So this is additional. This is not found in any other traditional document specifically for end of life, which is, would you want a statement in your document that says, I do not give authority to anybody to hasten or speed up my death. I want to die naturally. Mm. So in other words, the thought process that I had behind asking that question and even coming up with the language to put in to end-of-life documents is that I think that many people would share the value that my body is going to be the one that tells me that it's time to go, that the Lord is calling me home. And I understand that we fight to stay alive, although many clients that I serve that are born again and have given their life to Christ, they're very comfortable with allowing this shell to fall to the ground, knowing what their eternity looks like. But the document then can add a statement, and it's to cue off that exact mentality that you're talking about, which is, I want to make sure that nobody starts giving me additional morphine, that if the mentality ever hits the American shores or in Washington state, God bless us, and that all of a sudden there's not a shift in thinking that says, I'm still not worth it. I'm created in the image of God, even if I'm older, even if I lose some of my mental capacity, even if I am sick longer, I am still created in His image, and I don't know what my last breath might be able to do. I have a very, very good friend, and his dad was struggling with mental health, with just memory issues, not mental health, please, with memory issues. And he seemed to progress very rapidly. And then all of a sudden, he started to regain some of his memory. And he lived for another, I don't know, 4 or 5 years because of the care he started to receive. And he led multiple other individuals to Jesus Christ, even after those incidences. So when is it time for us to proclaim that I am not worthy? When is it time for me to proclaim God is done with me? Now, Paul did. He said, I fought the fight. I ran the race. And so he had a clear distinguishing understanding with his relationship with God. But for someone else to make that decision on my behalf, I don't believe it falls biblically in line with how we should be taking care of each other.
For end of life, there are some scenarios where it does seem like you would put in, you know, I don't want to be kept artificially alive.
Correct.
I'm brain dead, and I'm being kept alive by
and that's
a
the
ventilator
living will.
Or whatever.
Yeah. And that's the living will. So if you meet these certain markers, and I've been in this state, and doctors say there's no hope, there's nothing they can do, I'm unconscious and death is imminent. Well,
don't keep me alive artificially.
Correct, because that is artificial. That is actually not natural. That's man-made.
Right.
And so so it's really difficult to put in a statement that says, I want to die naturally, but then I want to remain on life support for 30 days. Which one do you want? Because life support is not natural. Now, if you don't fit all the other boxes, which is no medical hope, unconscious and death is imminent, well, then that document shouldn't turn on yet. In the general document, in the documents I see that are too broad, that would actually turn on at that moment. And so, and I've had clients who have pulled out of comas. I had one specifically that was in a coma for a couple of weeks, and it was touch and go. We just didn't know which way it was going to go. But so he didn't mark all the boxes that doctors could not confirm that there's no medical hope that death was imminent. So therefore, that document never turned on because we use and instead of or. So if we had used an or statement, somebody may have had that legal authority to go ahead and pull him off of a life support, and he would have lost time here on earth to do the calling that God has placed upon his life. And then, you know, that leads me to what we call a physician's order, a pulse document. And the listeners may recognize that document. It's a green form. And it's interesting, in my experience, hospitals and doctors want that form filled out all the time. And I have a little bit of a contrary view of this document, which is I'm very concerned that if someone signs this, that they override the care that I've taken in my document. So that's number one. A physician's order for life-sustaining treatment, if we really look at it, this is protecting not the individual but the medical community so that they can have hands off And there may be circumstances when this is a good document to look at. If you are in an end-of-life circumstance, you know, if you're aging in place and have severe mental issues. So this is a document that ends up many people put it on the refrigerator so that our EMT heroes can understand whether to resuscitate you or not, whether to get you to a hospital and put you on the life support. But I have some grave and big questions whether or not this is a document that should be used as much as what the medical community is pushing on us. And again, I might be wrong. I'm willing to be corrected. No one has ever, I've made this comment on air before. I've talked to medical professionals. I have doctors as clients, and no one's ever really a pushback that I have a wrong thought process on this, but because it protects the medical community, then my concern is it protecting my client? Is it protecting my client with all the different options that a client may need to make? And so let me say one last thing here as we close this out. See, I said two shows.
Okay.
We're down to two shows.
You're going to do it.
Which is that there's also a, I have a document within my firm that I give to clients, and it's instructions to healthcare representative, and it's a broad form of, well, what if I needed to be cared on the outside? I couldn't stay at home. Do I want to stay at home and be cared for in place? Do I have the finances to do that? What if I needed to move to a different facility? What do I want that facility to look like? What if I am in a precarious situation? It's not the end of life document. It doesn't trigger it, but my health is highly, highly compromised. What do I want in these different scenarios? What do I want with burial and other things? So all of this is meant to give communication to your healthcare representative so that in an emergency, they have as many tools, as many options at their fingertips to take the best care of you. You are worth it. You've been made in the image of God. Get your healthcare documents. Get your estate planning done. It's important to bring calm and peace to a moment where chaos could reign. Get your estate planning documents done. It's very important.
Very important. Healthcare documents, part of a good estate plan, and you need help with this. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, and it's all found at legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, thank you. Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.